Welcome. Hello, I'm Glenn Sollers.
And I'm Jason Duncan.
And welcome to the show that has no name right now, but I think it's going to be called Leveling Up. Right?
How to take your mind, body, and soul to the next level.
Which really aligns with the vision that you and I have, right? Because we're both still in the, you're younger than I am. But we sort of have it figured out, but we don't. And this this name really resonates with me because it's about learning and living our best life as we get older.
There you go.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. And you're mentioning, Jason, just around retirement as a topic area for today. What did you have in mind?
Well, I was thinking we could probably turn that into like multi-part series and talk about lots of different aspects of retiring, preparing for retirement, how to actually retire, what to do after you retire, how to, you know, be happy along the way, talking about the journey is the destination. You can't be waiting until you retire to be happy. You got to be happy in the process of getting to retirement and enjoying your life as you go every day. And that looks like, and we hear a lot of people talk about folks who retire and all of a sudden they're depressed or maybe they drop dead.
That's quite common, actually. There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, they don't know what to do with themselves. They lost their identity. They've basically hate their spouse. They can't stand being around that person maybe because now all of a sudden they have to adjust to this whole new lifestyle. And so we could talk about a lot of different aspects of how to manage that stuff. And even, as you know, I'm a big proponent of helping young people with their aspirations and goals in life, and preparing for retirement at a young age is very important. And a topic that I looked at a little bit, although I don't agree with the way it's characterized, is this topic called FIRE, financial independence, retire early. So that's like a huge movement that's going on with lots of folks who are trying to become financially independent, essentially, and not have to rely on an employer to support them, basically. So it's there's a lot of aspects of FIRE that we could talk about. And
well, I've never heard of FIRE. Oh. Obviously, you have because you're retired and I'm not. So where did you hear this concept of FIRE? And you say it's all the rage now? Like,
There's a lot of, there's a lot of like podcasts and web blogs and people that have done this, and media's kind of reported stories about this, and they talk about how it's about really saving a lot of money and basically living very frugally to get to a point where you can retire at a young age, which I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's about being prepared. As I've talked to you on your previous podcast, starting young, investing, letting compound interest work for you, building up, you know, a nest egg, and then putting together a plan that allows you to actually essentially use your resources to retire. And again, that doesn't necessarily mean you don't have to ever do anything else again for money, doing what you love, for example. Instead of trading time for money, maybe you're doing something that you're passionate about and it provides some supplementary income, but you're using your investments or assets to kind of live day to day or whatever that looks like. So yeah, I think there's a lot to talk about here anyway.
Well, so. Yeah, there is. I was talking to one of my colleagues and she is from the Philippines originally. And in the Philippines, they don't even have a word for retirement. Mm-hmm. Like that you don't retire. You just keep on working.
You just die.
You just die.
But eventually.
Yeah. So because when you are retired, what does one do? Like, I think as long as you're, like for me, I'm living my purpose. Is retirement that important? Because then what do I do after? Like when I'm not working nine to five, Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
As long as you have a
passion.
And Glenn,
the facilitator and the life coach and the whatever your identity is as a career, right? People always ask you, oh, that's generally when you meet somebody, what do you do? Right.
Yeah.
And for me, it's sometimes embarrassing to say, I don't do anything. I'm just a big loser.
Oh gosh, I'm so sad about the pain and the emotional turmoil that must have on you. The fact that you don't work and
I don't have an identity.
Have no identity, but you. Yeah, I'm sorry. my heart goes out to you, my friend. But okay, so retirement.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about retirement and a certain aspect of retirement. But I guess it's let's define retirement. Maybe that's a place to start. What is retirement?
Well, I think it's when you essentially can live the rest of your life on your own terms with your own financial means. I think that's what retirement ultimately comes down to.
So it's choice. And you're not dependent on a paycheck to.
Yeah, I mean, it comes in lots of forms, right? Lots of people have pensions, which they get for working at a company for 35 years, and they put in the time, and there's this, you know, that's how it used to be, right? A lot less defined benefits pensions out there where, you know, you work till you're 65 and suddenly you get 70% of your income. You live happily ever after until you die. And incidentally, when defined benefit pensions were probably created in, I don't know, the 1950s, I would guess, is when those kind of became prevalent with the rise of the auto unions and that sort of thing. Defined benefits pensions came along, and what was probably even earlier than that, to be honest, was probably like the early 1900s when they defined the retirement age as 19 or as 65. What do you think 65 was? Why was it chosen to be 65?
I don't know, Jason.
Because that was the life expectancy of people. So, So it was like, that was the plan. You turn 65, retire, and
you're dead.
Die. Right.
Oh, interesting.
And now people are living a lot longer, obviously, and healthier. Right. And so defined benefits plans, I think, have become more difficult to sustain because cost companies a lot more money because people have lived longer than they were supposed to when these mathematical formulas were created to see how much money they needed to keep people supported. But I think, you know, that's one way to retire. But I think that way more importantly is being self-reliant, right? Is being able to build up that nest egg, as I talk about to kids, the golden egg, where you can have a set of assets that you can draw upon to outlive you. And you can leave, whether that's a legacy to your kids or relatives or whoever, charities, whatever. You want to have more money. You want to have enough money to live your life. And when you die, if you can spend your last penny, great. But of course, we don't know when we're going to die. So you want to try to outlive your finances.
That's the...
No, you want
your it's a gamble almost, right?
You want your finances to outlive you. Well, yeah. And of course, to invest, you have to take a risk.
Yeah.
No one knows what's going to happen. Is the stock market going to crash or your real estate going to crash? And all of a sudden, you run out of money or maybe... What's happened lately is inflation's been 7, 8, 10%. Food prices are going crazy. The cost of housing, everything is way more expensive than it ever used to be. Somebody that was living on a fixed income could be in trouble. And you want to have a safety net, I guess. But anyway, that's like the finance aspect of retirement. But there's a lot more to it than that, right? When we talk about being happy in retirement and again, when we all met, there was a group of people in their 50s and 60s who I think kind of looked at this 45-year-old guy who's retired and they all said, what the heck is this guy doing? And
I did. Yeah.
Why is he retired? Why am I not retired? And I'm going to retire. Suddenly, a few years later, I think they all had to come to their own terms with what that means and how you... I don't think any of you guys have actually retired, have you?
I have not retired. No.
Not you.
No.
But some of the people that are in their 60s who were imminently going to retire are still working, right?
Yeah. And I think it's important to acknowledge that we live in a very high class, upper class neighborhood, right? Well, some of us have no class, but it's but we are, we've done well for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if I consider myself still in North Vancouver where I was with my wife, I would have never thought about retirement until I moved here. Mm-hmm. And then met people like you and others and now thinking about retirement. But I also don't want to have to think about retirement, but I do have to think about retirement. So it's a very,
yeah,
it's a very difficult topic in many respects.
Well, there's a lot of facets of it, right? And again, you know, it's, so how do you prepare for retirement as somebody who's in their 50s and wants to retire probably in your early 60s so that you can kind of have some runway, so to speak, in your, you know, your life to do things. And
mm-hmm.
it's about the time, I think. And my opinion is I want the freedom and the time to be able to do what I want to do and not have the constraints of a 9-to-5 job, or usually yeah. it's 9-to-8 job. And it, in the work that I did and most people do in the world, you don't really ever unplug from your job because there's ping, ping, ping on your phone, emails mm-hmm. coming in, you're looking at them. When you're traveling, you're going for dinners, meetings.
Well, Jason, this leads me to a question is, tell me a bit about you.
What about like, me?
What was your history?
Yeah, well, that's a good point too, is I should tell this my story of what I did, and some of the beginnings of my history are, you know, probably not, I'll skip those today, but one thing I was always good at was saving money and kind of putting that money away for the future and always thinking about how I could essentially build up capital and invest it. I had started investing it at a very young age and had my dad, who was an accountant, who helped me kind of learn the value of saving and investing, even when I was a student who was scraping by or working at a crappy job after I left school and making very little money. I still had this savings, and maybe, you know, my early 20s, I probably wasn't saving very much because I was trying to scrape by, but I had already had a nest egg that I had saved and invested when I was younger. Mm-hmm. So that was always a component that was growing and building up and creating something positive, even when it wasn't something that I would ever even think of touching at that point. Oh, I need to go buy a car. Well, no, that's not how you buy a car. I'm not going to touch my investments to buy a car or pay my rent.
So what did you have to give up at that age?
Well, I just was sacrifices. When I was in my 20s, I didn't have a lot of money, obviously, right, yeah. to spend. I mean, I was scraping by, living paycheck to paycheck. Eventually, I got a better job and built up my career and created was always looking at what's the next kind of step I can take in my career. I think that's a big part of it, is progressing in your career. Staying in a dead-end job that's paying minimum wage or whatever, even $30 an hour is probably, it's okay to start in your 20s, but when you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, you want to be advancing yourself into something better. So you always have to be looking. I think it's about looking after your future self. What do I need to do now to improve my future? Then I met Sharon, and then we had invested in some real estate and we're looking after that. Those real estate properties obviously did quite well. They were not a free lunch. It's a lot of work mm-hmm. that went into that investment. But then as we got, you know, as I got into my 40s, or I guess late 30s, we started looking at how to plan for our future and what that could look like. And so we put together a plan on how we could actually not work anymore. And I don't think that was necessarily high. It wasn't something we really thought possible. I think when I, you know, I used to think, oh, I could retire when I'm 40. And when you're 32, it didn't look like that was going to be possible.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't realistic, but it was always something I thought of. And I did pretty close to that. I think I retired when I was 42. But yeah, that was a struggle too, because So yeah, we put together a plan. We had went to an investment advisor and kind of put this whole big plan together, what that would look like, and long 2-page spreadsheet, I guess, of our income, drawing that down, which of course they said they've never done that before, because most, you know, that was like 50 years or whatever, because planning to live till you're in your 90s.
Is that your plan?
We'll see.
90 and then.
Yeah, 90. Yeah. If Cher lives to 100 and I live to 90, then we'll both die at the same time. It'll be perfect.
Okay.
You know, we had this plan. I had some different jobs. I had left my long-term job, I guess. Took another job, which was a lot of fun. But the company was going through a lot of changes, so I left to go to a different. And 7 months later, they pulled the plug and said they didn't want to be in cybersecurity anymore and they were going a different way. So after they hired me, they let me go after 7 months. So what did we do? We decided to go on a cross Canada trip, and we spent 6 months going across Canada and down all through.
You know, we had this plan. Some different jobs. Took another job, which was a lot of fun.
Kind of a retirement.
But the company was going through a lot of changes, so I left to go to a different. And 7 months later, they pulled the plug and said they didn't want to be in cybersecurity anymore and they were going a different way. So after they hired me, they let me go after 7 months. So what did we do? We decided to go on a cross Canada trip, and we spent 6 months going across Canada and down all through the States. And so we bought an Airstream, we got let go and bought an Airstream and took off. So that was pretty cool that we could do that. And that was kind of a retirement. I think that was 2017. I ended up taking another job. I was interviewing because these people were calling me. So of course I was never going to say no to opportunities. So I ended up taking another job when we got back and worked there. And you, like, this year and a half,
though, the plan was to
what you've been through, what you've done.
But it was tough. It's probably because, like
a small, tiny percent of the population probably
February
is doing what you're doing. Like, I would even argue it's probably less than 0.01%.
I had to tell him I quit.
Because so for the rest of us, Jason, who are in our 50s and
so it's like, oh, by the way, I'm not going to be there for those meetings. Yeah. And that was the end of that. I left the corporate world and never look back.
Where they start seeing like the 15 more years or whatever.
Yeah, hopefully, you have been building up the TFSA and the RSP, and you have doing what you're doing. And even with kids, it's probably less than put some money in an RSP so you can pay for their education. So that kind of thing.
Yeah.
The rest of us, you have these. Well, the 50s, you should be kind of topping things up on the way to retirement. 60s, right?
Yeah.
Kids take up a yeah. I mean, the first, well, hope. Yeah. Hopefully, you have been building up a TFSA and an RSP, and you have some home, and with kids, hopefully you've put some money in an RESP so you can pay for their education, that kind of thing, so that you have these kind of nest eggs when you get in your. In your 50s, you should be kind of topping things up on your way to retirement in your 60s, right? And obviously, you know, kids take up a major expense in your younger years. But when you get into those later years, kids are kind of becoming independent, hopefully. And they're not requiring the resources that they used. But yeah, you definitely need to put together a financial plan. And that involves an advisor who's
going to
put a bunch of information in their software program and crunch out numbers of what you need to save, what your expenses are going to look like, and project that out over to your life so that you can see this is how much money, A, I have enough money to retire, or B, I'm going to need to save another $300,000 somehow, or I'm totally screwed and I'm going to be working till I'm 80. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the burn rate, right? Is but again, you could do. I mean, look at your life. You could easily turn your career into more of an ad hoc thing where you do that, maybe in the the fall sessions,
yeah.
right? You do facilitation work in the fall and maybe a little less in the winter. And then you could supplement your income, right? If you needed to, or even if it, you thought it was fulfilling for you, right? Mm-hmm. Because once you go, oh, I don't have to do this stuff anymore. Now what?
What's coming through for me, Jason, in this conversation is the topic is as complex
yeah.
as like it's complex to talk about it because there's so many elements to it.
Totally.
And like, let's face it, for me, it's fear.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Fear of
well, the unknown.
Fear of the unknown. Like, how long am I going to live? How much money should I be saving? And I think this comes to a point that you mentioned earlier, just around the fact that, like, and I've seen this. I remember walking into a call center. I'm not going to mention the company name. And I saw all these people at their desks with their calendars ticking off the days till their death.
Yeah.
Right? And that was so eye-opening for me. Because many people are saving for their retirement, which is great. And I'm definitely putting more money away, but I can afford to do that. But there's a lot of people out there that can't afford to do that. Like, what percent of the population, and I would argue probably 3%, 4% of the population can actually do what we're doing and retire early or retire when you're 60, 65. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of us, and I know a number of people that can't retire because they just don't have enough money. They've never had that. And you had a good role model when you grew up saying, put away your money. Your dad was an accountant. So you were educated really well. But for the rest of us,
well, that's the thing. And that's why I want to work. Like, that's why talking to young people is a big passion, because that is the key, is starting young and being, having that mindset. I mean, and it's easy to make excuses. I know, like, you talk to people and they're spending money on things they don't need to spend money on. So I don't, well, yeah.
Yeah. And how do you shift that? Because FOMO.
Yeah.
The latest iPhone.
Yeah.
Brand clothing.
Exactly.
Compare and contrast, all these things. So when you were that age, what did you just wear? Kmart clothes, or were you a styling guy, or and
no,
because that's a choice. Like,
well, I'm not a styling guy to begin with, but
nobody.
No, I didn't lack. I mean, it's not like I was lacking anything ever, and that's why I say, when I talk about this fire stuff, the media really portrays it as living frugally and cutting out everything so that you can just focus on saving. But my theories are that if you just save that money up front, put away the basics, the 15 to 20% of your income, which covers off paying for other bigger purchases like cars in the future, big ticket items, you can do all that because you don't really have to worry about a budget. If you've taken care of the rocks at the beginning of the month, and you've got leftover money that you don't have to beat yourself up on. And does that mean you have to go out and buy the latest and greatest $400 ski coat? And I mean, when I worked sales, everyone drove a Beamer, everyone drove an Audi, everyone drove a Mercedes, but I was driving my Subaru around.
You still have that Subaru.
What was wrong with my Subaru? Well, I had a different Subaru.
Oh, you did? Okay.
But yeah, my Subaru, I still have a Subaru, and it's almost 10 years old now. So do I need to go out and buy a brand new electric BMW? Mark? No, I don't.
That's a sweet BMW.
Yeah, it's cool.
We have a mutual friend named Mark. We'll just leave it at that. Who has a BMW that, you know what? I was sitting in his back seat in his car. Have you sat in the back seat yet?
No.
Okay. There's an LCD panel on the handlebar, which has different massage functions on it. And it has an LED ceiling. So I had just an acupuncture massage, and the seat was heated. It was so nice. But so younger people.
He's in his late 60s now. And when I'm in my late 60s, maybe I'll have a car like that too. It's a different equation at that point. But starting out your career, do you need to drive the greatest, latest and greatest and wear the custom suits. And, but I always had a good suit when I was going out on my calls, and I wore good shoes, but I didn't necessarily spend $3,000 on a suit.
Well, tell me this, how do you convince a younger person nowadays where they, this is from what I hear, they don't see a bright future for the world. There is chaos going on in the environment. There is many different trends that are happening right now where people are living for today.
Yeah.
And I know kids like
that. And they're going to regret that.
I know, but then how do you convince somebody who's younger to say, no, don't live for today, put a bit away, still live for today, but don't spend as much, where they might not even see a vision or a future for themselves? Because like what I'm hearing is, I'm just going to spend my money. Like, I don't care about a house. I'll never be able to afford a house.
Said to young people when thick of COVID, when their deepest, darkest place, this too shall pass. Whatever happens with all these gloomy, doomy predictions, they're still going to be alive when they're 60, probably. I mean, unless a nuclear war happens or something. Mm. Climate change isn't going to kill everyone in the next 20 years. They still got to live. We're still in a society. You know, we could get into some controversial topics right now, but I think that school has a lot of guilt on their hands when it comes to this stuff, because they're not teaching kids anything about personal accountability and finance and how to actually live responsibly. But they are sure teaching them how to be scared and fearful of the future rather than preparing for the future. They're trying to scare them into this deep, dark future. And I think if you look back on history, it's always been doomy and gloomy, right? I mean, there's never really been, the future's always looked kind of scary, and there's always negativity that you can focus on.
Well, this could be a whole other topic.
Yeah, this is a different
topic. Yeah, no, but I don't know if I agree with you, Jason, because I think, and I was a parent. I'm a parent. Yeah. I don't have my son in my life, but I'm a parent. And I know other parents out there. Pardon?
It's a parent, you're a parent. It's a parent. Sorry.
This is not supposed to be funny, okay? Come on, Jason. No, it's, laughter is many parents are doing everything for their kids. And therefore,
yeah, the this kids is a different topic.
It is a totally different topic, but the maybe as parents, they need to start not giving their kids everything. Maybe walk around the house naked so the kids just eventually want to get out of the house and don't want to live with you anymore.
I'm not sure if that's an option. Maybe you need to go and cut lawns and save some money so you can buy the latest iPhone or buy those $400 shoes. Maybe they shouldn't just hand them cash. They should say, you actually need to take responsibility and go do something, because taking responsibility is what teaches them it. And it gives them self-esteem and it gives them confidence and it gives them, were you ever sorry when you went and like, I don't know, I did a lot of lawn cutting when I was a kid, rotor tilling the neighbor's garden for $20. Hey,
you made 20 bucks rotor tilling
or roughing hockey. That gave me a great sense of self-esteem and confidence. And then I was a little more careful with my money too, because it wasn't like it was just handed to me. I actually spent 2 hours doing work for that $20.
See, you did rotor tillering. My dad, he paid my brother and I 25 cents, Jason, to test the electrical fence. That's what we had to endure. And that went right to Fun Dip candy, right? And some hockey cards. So how do you, like at that age, how, like Fun Dip hockey cards?
I still got Fun Dip and hockey cards though, but I put 10 bucks of my 20 away.
It's that, yeah, that discipline at a young age to do that. Where
I bought one pack of hockey cards instead of three.
So you have to not be tempted by these things. So how do you convince younger people to not be tempted by all those?
It's the old people. I thought we were talking about old people here.
No, but you're just, well, that's another good question. How do you get old people like me?
You can't teach old dogs new tricks. So yeah. I think they're screwed. No, I mean, it's a complicated thing, right? Because
it is complicated. Yeah.
But I think a lot of kids actually don't necessarily view the world the way you say. I think like a lot of kids are smarter than we give them credit for and are actually thinking about their future.
Yeah.
I mean, they're building a career, they're saving, and there's a lot of tools out there for young people to, people are kind of saying, well, I'll never be able to afford a house. They can eat, you know, a young couple using the government's tools that they're giving them can save $150,000 tax-free to put to a house. They can save for a house, and it will only take them 7, 8, 10 years, whatever that might be, to yeah. save that money. And they could have a down payment for a house. And a lot of people want instant gratification where I need this now, right? Instead of waiting to save up for something and you know, it's this society of monthly payment. Oh, I can go have a new truck. I was in the dealership with my 2017 truck, which we bought when we went across Canada. Well, we still have the same truck. It's in good shape. The Ford dealership said, yeah, your truck's great. Could make that thing last for another 10 years. Could go to 400,000 or 500,000 kilometers. And I said, oh, really? Well, why is everyone buying new trucks? And they said, because they want new trucks. That was the maintenance guy. He said, I'm not the sales guy. I want to keep your truck maintained.
Yeah.
Do I need a new truck? No. Do I want a new truck? Sure. Yeah, of course I want a new truck, but even though my truck's dirty, it's in good shape. Glenn.
You're just
it's well maintained. It's always got its oil changes and transmission fluid changed and blah blah blah. So
I'm glad everything under the hood of your vehicle
is
crispy, clean, and well maintained. Jason's truck, just for those who have not ridden in it, which are all of you, is you could eat from it off the dashboard.
I don't think you'd want to do that.
You wouldn't want to eat the food that's there.
No, that's
but there's not a lot true. Of leftovers.
Glenn came after a month-long road trip, so it's not really fair to say that.
It's okay. It's not.
But he did eat a beef jerky, so a beef stick.
No, I didn't have one of your beef sticks. I just told you that. Yeah, no, it was actually a healthy beef stick. So you still manage your money very well then.
Well,
you don't. And how do you change people's mindsets too? And because it is a mindset thing. Yeah. You've had practice with this mindset ever since you've been how old?
I don't know.
Like, when did you start putting money away? At what age?
At 3.
At 3. So you learned at the age of 3, put money away and don't use it all. So you've had practice. How do you convince people my age or even a bit younger to not spend that money, not to go to Amazon and just find something that you want to buy and buy it for the sake of buying it, rather put it away in a savings?
I don't know.
Well, that's the million. That's not the $1 million question, but that's the question, is how do you shift mindsets? Or like, now I love the fact that you're okay with your truck, that you're okay with your Subaru. You don't need a new Subaru. Where we brought our Audi in. I think I told you that there's like $3,800 worth of work to be done on this Audi A3. And poor me, it's like, I haven't spent a lot on maintenance. But then we got into the whole conversation about, should we buy a new car?
Yeah.
And,
well,
then we looked at the Audi Quattro.
Which is like $70,000.
Yeah, it is. And then I'm telling Fran, I'm saying, I teach critical thinking. And for me, I'm now thinking, well, do we want to buy this vehicle or do we just keep our car? Like, the car that we have is not a bad car.
Yeah.
We have a hybrid vehicle as well. And for what we want to do, it's okay. Now, mind you, a Mitsubishi plug-in hybrid vehicle is gutless when it goes up a hill and it struggles. And I said, that's the only problem we have with the car. Why do we need a new vehicle?
Yeah.
But then here's the other side, is you never know how long you're going to live. And if we don't buy a nice vehicle, well, we won't be able to enjoy that. We just have to be in our...
But there's nothing wrong with your old vehicle. So
exactly.
Tell me, Jason,
what would you say to somebody like me? A vehicle
is a tool. It's not like, do you really, well, I guess Mark gets a lot of enjoyment out of his massage chairs, but so he gets a lot of enjoyment out of his vehicle. So great. I'm happy for him to have this beautiful new car, and he's traded in. I think he's gone through how many cars since we've known him?
Well, he owns four BMWs
now. Yeah, he owns four BMWs now, but he owned a Volvo. He owned a Hyundai. He owned two Porsches since I've known him. And he's like, he loves to trade in cars and buy and sell, and he gets a thrill out of picking out new cars and all that stuff. So that's his passion. And yeah. He's makes a lot of money, so good for him, right? Yeah,
he can afford it.
But if you're in your 40s and you do have kids at home and you're trying to save for pay off your mortgage, pay down your credit cards, pay off your, you know, kids' school, et cetera, maybe you should just live with that old Subaru. And yeah, of course there's a time when it comes to the car's not worth fixing. Why am I going to throw $5,000 into this old piece of poo when I can, now it's time to get a new car, right? Like, we've bought all our cars new. I've bought several new cars, but I've also kept them for a long time.
Well, right? we're keeping the Audi.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks to have to put $3,800 into it, but...
Well, it's better than spending $74,000 on a new vehicle, and that's not going to get us any closer to
$3,500 is like the monthly payment now for a new car, so...
Well, you're here. Let me tell you a bit about my strategy around retirement.
Yeah.
And I think I've spoken to you a bit about that, and I haven't spoken to the audience on this new podcast, which has no name other than Level Up. I think it's a good name, but we'll have to debate that. So we met with our financial planner.
Yeah.
And said, okay, we want to retire when we're 61, 62. Fran's like a year older than me. And they said, okay, so this is how much money you need. So they told us how much money we needed and how much we had to put away. So now we are almost hitting that number. I think sometimes we do hit that number, but it's like that money just goes bye-bye. Like every month it just gets withdrawn from the account, and it actually doesn't bother me too much.
There you go.
Still have enough money but I'm blessed to have the job that I have, and Fran is it's great that she's doing what she's doing now, so we can afford to do it. But we also had to make choices in life, and I think that's one of the key messages, is sometimes people might feel they're stuck in a dead-end job, they're only making X number of dollars an hour, but to find your passion, your purpose, I think everything's possible in attaining financial independence, so to speak. So for us, we're on target to do it, but it also depends a lot on what's going to happen to the financial market.
Of course.
What's your prediction on that, Jason?
The S&P 500 has gone up 10% every year on average for the last 80 years. I think it's going to go up. It's going to go down. Probably going to be some recessions along the way, and eventually it'll just keep doing its 10%. So if you try to buy some risky high flyer, you may lose everything, but if you just invest in kind of the average, you'll be okay.
And yeah, because our investor, he invests in a number of different companies that are stable companies, like Costco.
Yeah. So Canadian if Tire, you're buying like blue chips, and I put together these spreadsheets about, like, I've done that where I bought these friends, uncles, brothers company that's going to go to the moon. And of course, it's worth zero now. But when you look at what the opportunity cost of buying those supposedly great stocks, when I could have just bought Apple, right, which is up 5,000%. No, it's up 500% or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a huge opportunity cost of just buying those blue chips and sitting back and being patient, right? Mm-hmm. That's how you get rich slow. So, I mean, what can you do? I think you nailed it and it's what I said, is this financial plan. I think you have to kind of you have to be careful about, financial planners and professionals. But again, looking at those projections of where am I at and what do I need to do to achieve my next goal? That's important. And I used to do that all the time with, these online tools, or you'd get, these company with their little investment thing, you could kind of plug in your numbers. Here's how much I have right now. Here's what I want when I retire. Mm-hmm. And it spits out some numbers. I think it's great for people to be doing that throughout their whole career, right? Checking in, basically deciding, what do I need to do to achieve my goals? And the sooner you start that, the better. If you're in your 50s, you're going to have to, two options, right? You either save more money or you don't retire at a certain age. And so can I fix everybody? No, but I think I can make a difference and help people. And that's what I want to do. So it's all of those things. And again, we've kind of gone down this path, but I think the mindset of retirement, how to actually, once you have retired or once you're looking at retirement, how do you actually be happy with that and mm-hmm. change your identity as a professional career into, you know, a doctor who's retired here in town. It's probably a lot harder for him to have retired because he had to give up his doctor's license, right? He had to I retired because I didn't really like what I did. You know, it's not that I didn't like it, but there was a lot of things I didn't like about it. And I didn't like the stress and the pressure and the bosses and the fire drills and all that stuff. So I was lucky, extremely lucky. And I'm the first to say I was lucky and I was able to walk away on my own terms.
Yeah.
There's a million different facets to this.
Oh yeah, for sure. And in like one of our mutual friends, he and I still work and he loves his job as well.
Yeah.
He's a bit older than me.
Yeah.
But he enjoys his work and that's great. Like so as long as awesome. And there's not a lot of people out there like us that mm-hmm. actually enjoy the work we're doing. Like for sure. Yeah. It would be easier if I didn't work. However, it gives me meaning. It gives me a sense of purpose. It gives me something to do. And then when people say, hey, what do you do?
You don't have to be embarrassed.
I don't have to be embarrassed like you. Yay me. Wow. It must suck to retire when you're 42.
And it's like when you go through the border, the US border, and you're like, I hope they don't ask, what do I do? Because that's going to open up a lot of questions. What are they going to ask me now?
I do nothing. What are you going to do about it?
And I'm not coming here to work.
Yeah. So that's my plan. Like Fran and I are doing that. We're putting X number of dollars away every month to hit that goal. But I think the key thing here as well is to still spend money on ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like go on vacation. There's people I know out there that are just saving everything for their kids or they're still paying a mortgage. Like that's a huge reality that's happening out there. Fortunately, I'm not in that position. Mm-hmm. But for my wife and I, we definitely like spend money on vacations. We want to live our life because the thing is when you're retired, like if you're waiting until you're 65 and retire, you might not be able to do all those kind of things that you're hoping to do in Absolutely. Retirement because you have an older body. Mm-hmm. And that, so part of this podcast as well that Jason and I have planned out in terms of our series is to talk about things you to do with your body. Like mm-hmm. how can you maintain that to mm-hmm. live longer? How can you work on your mind?
So that's like part eight.
That's part
of the retirement podcast.
Oh, and then spirit as well.
Yeah.
That's a topic I really want to talk to you about because you and Sharon do something from a spiritual perspective, right? Yeah. But we'll get into that in another episode. Yeah,
probably.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we hit on a lot of interesting points and I think we could drill down on various aspects of that in the next series.
Yeah, we can do that for sure. Should we close this off?
I don't know. I think I ran out of things to say.
I'm kind of running out of things to say as well.
We could ramble on for another 7 hours and just,
we could ramble on, but we also have to make sure it's interesting for people who are listening.
Exactly. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe they'll think we're a bunch of idiots, but
they might think that. And that's okay. I'm
once,
okay.
Once we get to 10,000 listeners,
you know what? I'm a happy idiot. I am.
There you go.
And that's the other thing we're talking about is just the importance of this podcast helping people live their best lives, regardless of what age you're at. But ideally we're looking at you're after 40. What do you do with your life? What are some things that you need to do? And I look at our lives and it's not like we have the perfect lives, but there's things that for sure, what I love about you and the community that we live in is we've all made choices that have benefited us
mm-hmm.
and the community as a whole, and to learn from the community and learn from different people around what do they do? What have they done to live this magnificent life?
Yeah. And obviously the other great thing is this affords us the ability to do a lot of outdoor activities.
Yeah.
That are great for your mind, body, and soul, because you need to, as you get older, you definitely need to ramp up the exercise routines and the fitness and making sure you're not deteriorating away. And there's people we know that are younger, older than they should be, right? And their bodies are starting to fail them. And then we know other people that are in their 70s and act like they're 30, like they're, yeah. So. Well,
yeah. And I think what you're alluding to here, Jason, is we've, as an example, as a community, we have a group of people that go mountain biking, and yeah. It's something that I did a bit of mountain biking when I was younger, but now we all upgraded our bikes. Mm-hmm. We're doing some pretty decent riding. Like we'll go on blue, but not just the black blue trails, the more difficult blue trails. And there are times we will go on a black trail, but this is the kind of stuff we do. Like it's great to have a community of people where it's camaraderie. It's going out there, having some physical activity. Mm-hmm. Mind you, Jason has an e-bike and I don't.
But Glenn is an e-bike, so he's a human e-bike.
I'm a human e-bike. I still have a bit of a battery pack left.
But I did the whole bike ride in eco mode. So there you go. I'm getting in better shape.
I don't think I'd be able to
go on a non-e-bike because I'm...
Well, I'd love to just try out your bike and see what eco mode is all about.
But it was really good. We got to the disc golf place.
Yeah.
We were lost on the trail and we ended up at like the bottom of the mountain. We had to climb all the way back up to the parking lot. And Glenn was just cursing me as I put the bike in turbo and just went flying up the hill.
Yeah.
I think nobody's perfect. And as our friend Mark says, the enemy of the good is the great. What is that?
I've never heard that before. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Unpack that statement.
Yeah.
You know, it's about nobody's perfect. We're all going to make mistakes or fail or not get out as much as we want to. It's just about continuing that, never quitting. It's, you got to keep going and just do things and have fun and enjoy it. So, and I think that our lifestyle here really affords us that luxury of being able to do all those things that are really healing for the mind, body, and spirit. So,
yeah. And the other thing just to highlight there is we've chosen, like we can choose, mm-hmm. You can choose to have this life. And I think that's so important to realize that we all have agency in our life. And I know some of us do not. We are mm-hmm. in circumstances where we might be less privileged, or we live in a area that's war torn and, mm-hmm. and I'm grateful we live where we live. And my heart always goes out to those individuals in the world that have to live in a war stricken country or extreme poverty. And
yeah, we're extremely lucky, and gratitude's a huge part of that too. I think this is like a whole other topic, but when we were in the slums in Africa, you saw a sense of joy in people, mm-hmm. a sense of community that the Western world in a lot of ways has lost, because we're too busy trying to race around to the next meeting and taking our kids here and there, and we're stressed and we're, you know, our lifestyle isn't very healthy in a lot of ways. Whereas those folks are just purely happy and they have a whole community around them that's able to make sure they can stay safe. And even though they don't have everything we have, they're still happy. And I think you can learn a lot from people like that. And that applies to everything. But I think one of the things I'm realizing about retirement, right, just to bring this back to the retirement thing, is all of these aspects of retirement are really just about living your life, your best life. Mm-hmm. The things you need to do to be happy in retirement, prepare for retirement, it's really just about living a good life, being content with where you're at in life and taking steps to level up.
Yeah. And that's I was about to say that's a great close, but I have something to add to this.
I know you're going to call this podcast the podcast that never ends.
The podcast that never ends, yeah. Is what struck me when you're saying that is what I've come to realize is the importance of love and community and connection. Mm-hmm. And nothing else really matters. I don't need to travel and see the world. I don't need to buy new things all the time, because ultimately what puts a smile on my face and has longevity to it is being with people like you and people in our community and having fun with them, which means I don't need to spend all this money on other things.
Exactly.
Right. Just like you were saying in the slums of Africa, where people, they are poor, but they have a smile on their face. Mm-hmm. They're not worried about what they have or don't have. They are just being with what they have.
They're content.
And they're content, right? Yeah. And to achieve that sense of contentment, I think at a young age, as you did, is what the message maybe needs to be to the youth out there, is mm-hmm. you don't need to have everything, but focus on building those connections, building that community, and put that extra money away.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
On yourself, right? There's always steps you can take to improve your career. And looking at how do I get from here to there? Mm-hmm. What do I need to do? Not expecting that just to be handed to you, but if I want a promotion to say, oh, well, I'm doing this here and I want to do what that guy does over there, that girl, it's not about expecting that to be given to you. It's about what do I need to do to get there?
Yeah.
Oh, I probably should take some courses in X, Y, and Z. Oh, I should actually talk to them. Maybe they'll mentor me and build that community. Mm-hmm. Maybe I could spend extra time on something, learn new skills. All those things are so important.
And I think that also ties into the importance of this podcast, is that's mm-hmm. what we're trying to do. Like, absolutely. We want to build stronger communities, stronger connections, and stronger people.
Absolutely.
Live that happy, long life, Jason, right?
That's right.
Okay. On that note, are we good to level down?
Yes.
Okay.
Push the button.
Push the button. We'll have to figure out an ending as well. Just want to say, please make sure you follow us on Twitter and I'm kidding.
Facebook. Facebook. What's that other thing called? X. Snapchat.
Snapchat.
So we'll and have if to somebody else copies our voices in AI, we'll just consider that a form of flattery.
I was told that I have a very lovely voice.
Your sexy AI voice.
My sexy AI voice. And I was also told I need to speak from my belly.
I thought you were supposed to sing from your belly.
I can. Do you want to hear my...
No. And on that note, that's the last podcast we ever did.
So we'll figure out an ending as we do this. Thanks for listening.
Bye.